most of this year we've been focusing on the Isur and Melacha, particularly as it relates to Shabbos. And over the next couple of weeks, as we get closer to the Yom Tov season, so we'll try to speak a little bit more about Melacha as it relates to Yom Tov. And this week, I thought we'd start off with, in a sense, the lowest type of Melacha, the Isur Melacha of Chol HaMoed. Somebody commented to me a moment ago, Isur Melacha of Chol HaMoed? Really? We never heard of that. So that's what we're about to find out about. And if and anyone wants to leave now before we come, we won't penalize anybody. But those who are willing to stay, so we'll try to analyze the sugya a little bit together. So the sugya begins in the first of the Mamakamos in the second Chagiga, Daf Yechesem and Aleph. The Gemara quotes a posuk, Tanida, Braisa quotes a posuk. Sheish is Yom Tochal Matzel, Sevim Ashri Ateres Vashem. Posuk in Parshas Re'eh speaks about the 6 days of Pesach and then, of course, the seventh day of Pesach. So why does the Torah split it up in such a strange way, 6 days on the seventh day? So there are many drushes based on this apostle, but one of them is Mashvi Atzur Avsheshes Yom Atzurim, that the Torah is coming to compare the first 6 days of Pesach to the seventh day of Pesach, like in a sense of Hekesh, that the two parts of the apostle are compared to one another. Just as on the seventh day you have to refrain from doing Malacha, there for sure you're not allowed to do Malacha, well, Sasa Malacha, there the apostle is explicit. So too, you're not allowed to do Malacha on the first 6 days as well, including, of course, what we call Chol HaMoed. So the price continues. Ima shvi atzu b'chol malacha, avsheshes yom atzurim b'chol malacha. I might think that just like on the seventh day, you have to refrain from all malacha or most malacha. There, of course, there are certain malachas that are permissible in Yom Tov Chol Nefesh, but we're not focusing on that right now. But by and large, as it is a malacha on the last day of Yom Tov, on the seventh day of Pesach, so I would think that that is a malacha is identical on the first 6 days. Tavod Lopa, Uba Yom HaShvi Atzeres, HaShvi Atzer B'chol Malacha, Ve'ein Shishas Yom HaMatzer B'chol Malacha. No, since the Torah does single out the seventh day, obviously there's got to be some kind of a difference. So now we're a little bit of a bind. On the one hand, there's a comparison between the first 6 days and the seventh day. On the other hand, there's a distinction. So how do you explain away? Are they the same or are they different? So the Gemara concludes, the Bracha includes, Hala Masar Nakasa Nam Lachachamim, Lem Lacha Ezi Yam Asav Ezi Yam Mutta Ezi Malach Asur Ezi Malach Mutaraz. So the Gemara seems to fall back on a little bit of a, somewhat of a middle category, Lem Masar Nakasa Nam Lachachamim, that the Chachamim have to determine what exactly one is permitted to do on the days of what we call Chol HaMoed. On the seventh day, we don't need the Chachamim to tell us. The Torah says, with 39 malachas you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to do those malachas on Yom Tov, except for Echol Nefesh. That the Torah says explicitly in Parshas Bo, but otherwise all malachas are asuros. Whereas when it comes to Chol HaMoed, that's a new category called Masarah Kasa B'Chachamim. The Chachamim have to determine what is appropriate, what's not appropriate. So the question is, where do we go after reading this Braisa? What's our final take on the status of malachas Chol HaMoed? So of course we know there's a very, very famous question in the Rishonim. What is the ultimate source for the prohibitions of malachah and Chol HaMoed? Certain things are prohibited and certain things are permissible. Where do those distinctions come from? Where does this whole category of Huchas Chol HaMoed come from? So one can understand Huchas Chol HaMoed in one of two ways. Either one can understand Huchas Chol HaMoed basically as being the Rabbanon. That means Min HaTorah, according to the absolute strict Torah law, there's no issur malachah and Chol HaMoed. It doesn't mean that Chol HaMoed is not a special day Min HaTorah. On Pesach, Chol HaMoed Pesach, obviously you're not allowed to eat chametz. That's an issur deraisa. The Torah says that explicitly for 7 days. You're not allowed to own chametz for 7 days, even the days of Chol HaMoed. There's a mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov. There are kabbanos that are brought. There's a korban musaf. So there's no question there are dinim deraisa that apply on Chol HaMoed that don't apply to regular weekday. On the other hand, vis-a-vis malacha, one could take the approach that any limitations, any prohibitions of malacha and Chol HaMoed are only mid the rabbanim. So even though the Gemara is quoting a pasuk here, but the Gemara itself falls back on the idea of l'masar pasuk el l'chacham, and l'chacham sounds like the Rabbanan. So one could take that approach in your entire outlook on Huchas Chol HaMoed, that in the realm of malacha, the whole issa beginning at the end is only mid the Rabbanan. Well, maybe one could say no. Maybe one could say that the issa of malacha and Chol HaMoed is an issa deraisa. But how could it be if the Gemara calls it masar pasuk l'chachamim? So the truth is that there are other kinds of isurim out there which are also isurim deraisa, but the Torah doesn't spell out the exact details of what's also what's mutter. Very often the Torah spells out, either in the Torah Shaduchzav or in the Torah Shabbateh, the absolute aleph bay is exactly what you are and not allowed to do. So for example, when it comes to Shabbos, so the Torah says Masasika Malacha, and the Torah Shabbateh explains to us Malacha means Malachas HaMishkan, which translates to mean 39 Malachas. So nobody would ever question, nobody would ever say, I mean, people would say a lot of strange things, but nobody authentic would really say that the Lama Test Malachas are anything short of a Din Deraisa. Of course there are Din Deraisa, Chai Skiva, Chai Karas, Chatas, of course there will be Surim Deraisa. Even though the Torah doesn't say explicitly the Tosh B'Chsav, the 39 Malachas, the Tosh B'Chsav elaborates upon the Tosh B'Chsav, and that's all part of the Mesorah of Meshach Kibbutar Messinai, the details of the Lamites Malachas. So there's no question that the Issa Malacha on Shabbos is a Deraisa, the Issa Malacha on Yom Tov, the details are of course also a Deraisa. But sometimes you have Dinim where the Torah says a very, very vague statement, and the details aren't really spelled out, neither the Tosh B'Chsav, nor the Tosh B'Chsav, and the Gemara invokes the principle called the that the Chachamim have to be kaveh, the Chachamim have to determine what's considered to be included in the Sitzra now. For example, the Torah says, you're not allowed to mimic the non-Jewish ways. What does that mean? So there was no pure halacha l'moshe b'Sinai to say, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to do that. The Torah gave a very, very vague statement, and the Gemara explains, the Rishonim explained, the Chachamim have to determine what's considered to be an appropriate or an inappropriate mimicking of the non-Jews. Certain things that non-Jews do, we also do. A non-Jew wears a shirt, so I also wear a shirt. Non-Jew goes to work, I also go to work. There are a lot of things you're allowed to do, even though the non-Jews are doing it. On the other hand, there are certain activities that non-Jews are doing, even though they're not necessarily Isurim per se, which you're not allowed to mimic. So what those things are, you have to be on the scope. Doesn't want to leave for that year, can leave for that year also. So again, there are sugyas in the Gemara, the Shulchan, the Rishon, the Shacharach, what's called the Chusamus Aleichu. So those are Masar Kos and the Chacham. The Chacham have to determine what's an inappropriate, what's an appropriate. So one could argue that maybe that's what Melechus Chalamoid is also. That maybe Melechus Chalamoid is really a deraisa. It's just that the details weren't given mamish to Moshe Messina like the details of Shabbos and Yom Tov. It was in the gather, it was in the category of Mesorah Kosel Chachamim. But once the Chachamim determined that this and this activity is permissible, this and this activity doesn't fit into the spirit of the day, then it reverts to becoming a deraisa. One who violates Pesem Lo Selechu is violating a deraisa. One who violates Melechus Chalamoid is violating a deraisa. So it's not clear from the Gemara what exactly the conclusion is about Melechus Chalamoid. Do we take the approach of Melechus Chalamoid that's all midrabanan, the whole list of Melech of the Hakma Mikakol is midrabanan, or do we take the approach that it's more of a deraisa? It's just that the details weren't necessarily given to Moshe Rabbeinu like the details of other parts of the Torah about that. So the Rishonim split on this question. Tosfos in the next day, Ma'amakav, Tosfos Maseches Chagiga, and Dafid Chesem and Aleph. So Tosfos comments, Chol Shemayit Asa B'Asiyas Melacha, L'chorem Ashma De Melacha De Mitzvah B'Mederaisa, De Mapik Lemi Pasuk. So Tosfos says, it seems to be that Melechus Chalamoid is in fact a deraisa, and the greatest source to support that idea is the fact that the Gemara is quoting a pasuk. The Gemara dashes from a pasuk, sheshes yomim tachamatzas ma'ashri atzor afkol sheshes yomim atzor. Those sounds like that's a din min haTorah. So the truth is that in and of itself is not an absolute giveaway. The Gemara does sometimes quote dinim derabanan and quote the pasuk as an, what we call an asmachta bi'alma. The asmachta is just a kind of a hint, an allusion. The Torah is referring to something, but it's not really the Torah's chiyuv, it's not an absolute requirement. So just because the Gemara quotes a pasuk doesn't always mean it's a deraisa. You have to tell from the context of each particular sugya. So Tosfos starts off by saying, "Mechira mashma," it sounds this way, that Melechus Chalamoid is deraisa, but it's not convincing. In fact, Tosfos goes on, it was left off, I put a little bit further on Tosfos in the Maamar Kabbalah, it got chopped off, but Tosfos goes on to show you that even though they think that Melechus Chalamoid is deraisa, Rabbeinu Tam disagreed, Rabbeinu Tam said it can't be. It's impossible that Melechus Chalamoid is deraisa. What prompted Rabbeinu Tam to that conclusion? Rabbeinu Tam said that the rules are so strange on a level of deraisa. We are very, very, very different from regular rules and standards of Melacha as it relates to Chalamoid. Shabbos we know, 39 Melachas, also the Gamre, no ands, ifs, and buts. Yom Tov, everything's also with a handful of exceptions of the Melachas Echol Nefesh. On Chalamoid, it's a Hefkevelt. Sometimes it's Mutter, sometimes it's also. So we're going to hopefully talk a little bit more maybe in the next week about what the details of Melechus Chalamoid are. You're allowed to do certain non-professional work, but professional work you're not allowed to do. If there's a loss of money, you're allowed to do it. If it's a communal need, sometimes you're allowed to do it. Certain communal needs are Mutter, some are also. Everywhere you turn, Melechus Chalamoid, also Mutter. There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason. There doesn't seem to be any absolute ironclad rules. Melechus Shabbos is much easier. Usher, everything's usher on Shabbos. It's very easy. On Yom Tov, usher, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to bake, you're allowed to knead dough and carry shark. Easy. Chalamoid, wherever you go. Sometimes, if you do it in this way, it's usher. If you do it in that way, it's mutter. If you're a professional, it's usher. If you're an amateur, it's mutter. If you have a little bit of a need, it's mutter. If a lot of a need, it's the whole thing every rule seems to be the exception to the rules. So the Tam says that cannot be an Issa Deraisa. You can't have Dinim Deraisa that worked in those categories. It must be that that's the Rabbanim, that the Chacham instituted certain things are appropriate, certain things are not appropriate. So they fleshed out the details of Chol HaMoed, so they were able to say whatever they wanted. If it would have been a real bona fide Dinim Deraisa, it would have had to have very, very rigid, very, very exact categories of Halacha. So Rabbi Natam was the biggest supporter of the theory that Melechus Chol HaMoed is only Midrabanan. Again, it's not that Chol HaMoed doesn't exist in the Torah. Of course it exists in the Torah. Of course it's a special day in the Torah. There's Halo, and there's Simcha, and there's Karbanah, there's Musaf. There's a lot of things that are special in the Torah. But in terms of the Issa Melech, Rabbi Natam thought that the whole thing is only Midrabanan. Notwithstanding Rabbi Natam's view, in his own household, there were those who disagreed with Rabbi Natam. His own brother disagreed with him. There's a Gemara, the next of the Mam Kamos. The Gemara says, Pesachim tells us, called Mevazas Amar Ados, Kilo Obed of Erezara. It was a very strong statement. Someone who treats the Yom Tovim lightly, who disgraces Yom Tovim, is tantamount to idol worship. Shinema, Eloheim HaSechol HaSas Aloch, L'chsib HaSvei Es Chag HaMatzos Tishmor. Pashas Kisisa, so the Torah puts one pasuk right next to the other, without observing Yom Tov and not worshipping idols. So Rashbam is very bothered with this Gemara. What do you mean? Whenever the Gemara uses the phrase ki'ilu, so it always has a connotation that it's not really so bad. If ki'ilu tries to impress upon you, it's bad, don't do it. Let's say, we wouldn't find the Gemara that says, kol mechalos ha-shabbos ki'ilu something. We know you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. If it's called ochel treif ki'ilu dirim, we know you're not allowed to eat treif. So what the Gemara is saying, called mevazas and mevados, it sounds like the Gemara is talking about a chiddush. It's not talking about the person who's doing work on Yom Tov itself. I don't need a ki'ilu tucked away in Pesachim Kuf Yuches to tell me not to drive a car on Yom Tov. I know that already. So what is the Gemara talking about? So the Rashbam on the next day in the Karmos explains in Maseches Pesachim, called mevazas and mevados. The Rashbam says that this Gemara is referring specifically to work on Chol HaMoed. So the Rashbam says the Chiddush of the Gemara in Pesachim is that even on Chol HaMoed you're not allowed to do Malacha. Not to do Malacha on regular Yom Tov, the first and last day. I don't need the Gemara in Pesachim, I have Pasim Chumash. But not to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed, that's already a Chiddush. So that's what the Gemara is referring, that's what this Pasuk is referring to. So this idea that according to the Rashbam, this is the pshat of the drasha of Chag HaMatzos Tishmor Ki'ilu Obed Avodah Zarah, referring to Chol HaMoed. It's very hard to call Chol HaMoed the Rabbanan. To say that the person is violating an Issa mid Rabbanan, it's like he's worshiping idols. That's a little bit too powerful statement. It must be that the Rashbam understood that Malachas Chol HaMoed is really a Deraisa. So now we have a Machlokes living the two brothers, the two grandchildren, the two grandsons of Rashi, as to what is the status of Malachas Chol HaMoed. So if you imagine, I can tell you what arguments happen in my house of Chol HaMoed. Usually the arguments are which trip we're going to. Came Chol HaMoed in the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam's house, and the two brothers are fighting it out. One brother said, it's an Issa Deraisa and Melechus Chol HaMoed. The other one said, nah, it's only Mid Rabbanan. That was a big fight. There was no Six Flags, there was no Hershey Park, there was nothing. Just Issa Deraisa and Rabbanan. So the bottom line is, the Rishonim really is splitting off in terms of two very, very different directions towards how we view Melechus Chol HaMoed. And so there is a third possibility that is suggested by the Mishkanes Yaakov. If the push the clock ahead a couple hundred years, Mishkanes Yaakov was a Talmud of the Chaim Lajon. You're talking about in the early 1800s. So the Mishkanes Yaakov suggests that maybe there's a compromise view. Maybe sometimes Melechus Chol HaMoed is Deraisa, and sometimes Melechus Chol HaMoed is Derabon. How can that be? What's the difference? So the Mishkanes Yaakov says maybe it depends on what exactly you're doing on Chol HaMoed. Namely, we know that there's Mansha Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim, so there were certain karbanos that had to be brought on Yom Tov. You have to come to the Beis HaMikdash, Olil HaRegel, you have to bring a Korban Olin, a Korban Chagigun, a Korban Shlomim, Shalmi Simcha. There are many, many karbanos that are brought, and you can really bring them any time during the course of Yom Tov. When I say Yom Tov here, I mean the whole week of celebration of Yom Tov. Lav Dafka, I'm coming to the Beis HaMikdash on Chol HaMoed. It could be that I came the first day, I took care of all my karbanos already, and sure, I'm done. But some people, the latecomers, who didn't quite make it till the third day of Chol HaMoed, they're coming and rolling into Yerushalayim, and they're bringing their karbanos. Okay, no signs. But the avodah, you can bring karbanos the whole week. So comes the Shias Yaakov and says, for the person who's not coming to Yerushalayim, who's not celebrating, who's not bringing karbanos, so for him, there's no issa malachas Chol HaMoed Deraisa. But for the person who's bringing a karban, so for him, it's basically a chag, it's basically a yom tov. So for that individual, it becomes under the category of Malachas Chalamoid, even on a level of Deraisa. So it's a strange split. I mean, the answer to the question, says the Mishkiris Yaakov, is Malachas Chalamoid also in a Torah, or is it also in a Drabonim? Depends who you are. If you're a carbon person, then it's a Deraisa. If you're a non-carbon person, or Bizmanazel, when no one's bringing carbonas, then it's only a Drabonim. That's why the Mishkiris Yaakov explains, that's why we refer to Chalamoid as a Mikra Kodesh, but only in the Navi of Musaf, not in Shachris bin Chirmayru. We only use the phrase "Vakitam Lano Hashem Lokein Nezayom Chagmatzia Mikra Kodesh." We only use that phrase in the davening of Musaf, not in the other tefillos. Why is that? So it says "Vishkas Yaakov Musaf." We're mimicking the Beis Hamikdash. So in the Beis Hamikdash, for the person who's bringing karbanos, taka mikra kodesh. What does kodesh mean? Kodesh means kedushas hayom. Kodesh means no malacha. Like Shabbos Kodesh and Yontif, which is the Zman of Kedusha. So in the Mikdash, or when we're making believer in the Mikdash, with Avni Musaf, so we're reliving the Beis HaMikdash, we're standing in Yerushalayim, we're bringing Karbanos, so Taka Cholamoid is a Mikra Kodesh. On Mincha time, when you're in the middle of Six Flags or something, it's not Mikra Kodesh. That's not the time to emphasize Mikra Kodesh. I mean, you can't do certain things then also, but that's only Midrabanan. So a co-part of this idea that Malachas Chalamoid, at least on a level of Deraisa, may be linked to the Karbanos, this is already a whole new aspect of Malachas Chalamoid. Do we have any precedent for this idea that the bringing of a Karban somehow creates a Kedushas Hayom, creates an Issa Malacha? Is there any other area where we find such an idea? So there is a Tosfos in Maseches Pesachim, the next of the Maimonides, where Tosfos says that they think that that's the reason why there's an Issa Malacha on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. You know, the famous Mishnah in the fourth parak of Pesachim tells us that you're not allowed to do Malacha in the afternoon of Erev Pesach, after Chatzos. Before Chatzos depends on the Minig HaMakom. Some places, in the days of Chazal, some places used to do Malacha, and other places didn't do Malacha. I think in America, everybody does Malacha. I'm not going to say what's happening after Chatzos, but before Chatzos is totally Minig HaMakom, and I think we're pretty makel on that. But after Chatzos is a real Issa Gomer, it's a Ferish Mishnah. You're not allowed to do Malacha in the afternoon. Doesn't mean like Shabbos Malacha, means like Chalamoitik Malachas. You're not allowed to do certain things in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. So where in the world did that Issa come from? Why is there an Issa not to do Malacha Erev Pesach? What's that all about? So Rashi on the spot says that it was just instituted by the Chachamim to make sure that you bake your matzahs, your kashas, your kelim, you get rid of your chametz, make sure that you're ready to go for Pesach. Erev Pesach is a pretty busy day, so people are going to be going to work till 5 o'clock, they're going to come home, they're not going to have time to get ready for Yom Tov. So Chazal said, you know, on a regular Friday, regular Erev Yom Tov, you should also come home early, but okay, that's already not an issur, but the other Gemara just says it's a Siman Bracha, it's a good idea, it's a very strongly recommended to get home as early as you can. But Erev Pesach, they made a real bona fide Issa D'Rabbanan just to ensure that everybody's ready for Pesach properly. Whereas Tosfos says that the Issa of Malach and Erev Pesach has nothing to do with getting ready for Yom Tov, it's based on something totally different. What's it based on? So Tosfos in the next Gemara Mekomis writes, Omer Ri B'Shem Riva, the Mefarish B'Rushami, that the Riva founded the Rushami, why is there a Pesach different from other Yom Tovim? Because the Korban Pesach was brought in the afternoon. And the Gemara there says in the Rishami that not only Erev Pesach, but any day that you bring a private korban, if I can come to the Beis HaMikdash today and bring a korban, any day you come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a korban, you're not allowed to do malacha that day. There's an issa deraisa to do malacha. It's supposed to celebrate, it's a special day, and you have a private yom tif when you bring a korban. Then the Rishami goes on to parach in Kenya kol yom asur. If that's the case, that the issa malacha and Erev Pesach is because of the korban Pesach, so why are you allowed to do malacha in the morning? If I bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, I can't do malacha the entire day. So why does the issa of Erev Pesach only start after Chatzos? The Rishami says that you can't have an issa malacha in the morning because you can't bring the korban Pesach yet. A private carbon, there's no time limit, you can bring it all day. So the whole day is nitfas, the whole day is called the Yom HaKadosh, but also B'Asiyas Malacha. Whereas in Erev Pesach, the only time of the Zman HaKarav is in the afternoon, so the middle of the afternoon is also. So then the Rishami goes on with a fascinating question, out of the realm of what we're talking about, but the Rishami then asks the question, Uparach imkein carbon tamid shu l'chol yisroel v'karav b'chol yom yehe b'chol yom asa b'malacha. The Rishami throws a question from left field and says, wait a second, every Jew is bringing a carbon every day of the year. There's a carbon tamid that's being brought. How could you ever go to work? was a kasha, it wasn't a teret, it wasn't a maskana. The Havamina of the Yerushalmi asked, how could a person ever go to work, typically that is bringing a korban? So the Gemara says, nah, that's not a good kasha. Mishani, shani tamid, shatoyro tziyam in a klau, tichsiv yasaf to the ganecha. So gzeris akosi, we're allowed to go to work, the kasha lamaisa. The Torah describes going to work. The Torah says you're allowed to gather your grain. So vim koyso yoshu b'teilim yesef lem dogon. He says, who's going to collect the grain? So of course people are going to collect it. Of course you have farmers. Of course the guy's going to work. So you see that it's not such a good kasha. That even though the korban tamid is being brought, you're allowed to go to work. But other korbanos that are being brought, you're not allowed to go to work. So if you bring your korban pesach that day, you can't go to work. If you bring your regular korban yochid on a regular Tuesday in the middle of the summer, you're not allowed to go to work. There's an issa d'oraisa. It's a private yontif every day you decide to come to the base of mikdash to bring a korban. So that whole sugya based on this Tosfos, based on this Rishami, is really what the Mishkas Yaakov is saying as well about Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed lends itself to korbanos being brought. For the guy who didn't bring earlier in the week, he ends up coming to the base of mikdash. So you have a lot of people in Klal Yisrael who are really observing an issa melacha on Chol HaMoed ben HaTorah. So Chazal instituted that even if you personally are not bringing a korban, you should join together also. It's also a shtikl yomtiv. So it's a issa melacha midirabbanim. But for the guy who's actually bringing a korban, it's really an issa melacha diraisa. So we have three different possibilities about our take on melachas Chol HaMoed. Is melachas Chol HaMoed an outright issa diraisa, like the Rashbam says, to every person at all times, with a base of mikdash, no base of mikdash? It's an absolute issa diraisa to do melacha on Chol HaMoed, wherever those melachas are. According to Ben Hatam, the whole thing is not true. Min HaTorah, it's all midirabbanim. Then you have the middle ground, the Mishnas Yaakov, that some things are also, some things are mutter. The question is there any real nafkamina ladina? We haven't said a word about what you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, but you're not allowed to do. Hopefully next week we'll talk about that. But at the end of the day, does it really make a difference whether it's deraisa or derabanan? We have shomer Torah mitzvahs, so we like to keep dinim deraisa, we want to keep dinim derabanan. We're going to keep everything. We just celebrated Purim. Purim's only mid derabanan. So we celebrate Purim, we celebrate Pesach's deraisa, Rosh Hashanah's deraisa, Chanukah's derabanan. We keep all the mitzvahs, the deraisa's derabanan. That's what the Baruch Shalom told us to do. We listen to everything. So does it really make a difference whether I can't work on Chol HaMoed deraisa derabanan? So the Rishonim have a few possible nafkaminas ladina. So one of them is a very, very famous nafkamina. It's based on the next Gemara, the Gemara in Emesach Erevin. We are Tanya Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yacho Yaniach Adam Tefillin B'Shavasos of Yom Tovim. I might think that a person should wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why not? Tavalama B'Hoylechol Yosa Yadcha Misha Tzvichen Os Yatsu Eilu Shein Gufan Os. Since the Torah describes tefillin as being an oath, so that the Torah Shavuot tells us that only in those days which themselves are not days of oath are required to wear tefillin. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, one is not required to wear tefillin. According to many Rishonim, one is prohibited to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but for sure one is not required to. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Erevin. That's why tefillin is considered to be a mitzvah seishes as man grama, since it's a mitzvah that's only performed at certain times. It's performed 6 days a week, but not the seventh day. That qualifies as man grama. That's the reason why women are pturus from the mitzvah tefillin. So the Rishonim have a question, why exactly is it that Shabbos and Yom Tov are called an oath? What characteristics of Shabbos and Yom Tov creates the shame oath? So l'chora, the answer is, well, it's a malacha. Shabbos is a different day. Shabbos is an oath, you're not allowed to do malacha. Yom Tov is an oath, you're not allowed to do malacha. So l'chora, the characteristic of oath that Shabbos and Yom Tov have is that characteristic of an issa malacha. If that's the case, so then one has to evaluate, what about a Chol HaMoed? Would it be appropriate to call Chol HaMoed an oath, thereby exempting a person from tefillin? Or would that be a stretch? Would that be too much of an extension? Maybe Chol HaMoed is not really an oath. It's not a legitimate oath, and therefore one would be obligated to wear tefillin. So the Chora, that all boils down to what you think the Issa Melacha and Chol HaMoed is all about. If you think that Chol HaMoed is also the Melacha min HaTorah, that means the Torah labels it as a Yoma also the Melacha, so the Torah considers Chol HaMoed to be an oath. If it's an oath, then it would be inappropriate to wear tefillin on a day that's an oath. The same way it's inappropriate to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you'd potter from tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you would be potter on Chol HaMoed. Whereas if you take the approach that Melachas Chol HaMoed is only the Rabbanan, so that means according to the Torah proper standards of what's called an oath, Chol HaMoed falls short. So tefillin is a mitzvah deraisa. So we have to paskin a tefillin shayla based on the deraisa tikkun standards of oath. If Chol HaMoed doesn't meet the mark of what's called an oath with deraisa, because there's no issa melacha with deraisa, then it would follow, the corollary of that statement would be that you're mechuyav bin HaTorah to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So the chura, this whole lomdish academic machloikis that we're having is Chol HaMoed deraisa, derabbanan, Rabbeinu Tam, derishbam, mishkas Yaakov, back and forth. perhaps a tremendous dafkirina, not in Hukus Chalamoid, perhaps dafkirina in Hukus Tvilin. If Malachas Chalamoid is also Minat Torah, then it's an Os Minat Torah, and you don't wear Tvilin. If Malachas Chalamoid is only Midrabanan, then presumably it's not an Os Minat Torah. So Tosfos in the last Rimar Mekomos, Os in Erevin the Tzadivav, has the following observation. Tosfos says, V'lechora, Ein Laniach Tvilin B'Chalamoid. So Tosfos starts out by saying it would appear that it's a, that one should not wear Tvilin B'Chalamoid. Why? She'ein Tzorchos. Because you don't need anything else. The also be malacha with avshinu abed, because there is an issa malacha. Certain things are also in chalamoid. Taisus taking the stand that is deraisa, and then Taisus makes an about face. Taisus says the oigish shloimer. There's another reason not to wear tefillin in chalamoid. The o dechay besukah bechayv apesach also bechilas chametz. Says Taisus, how do you know that the definition of oath revolves around malacha? Maybe yom tov is an oath even without an issa malacha. Maybe the reason why chalamoid qualifies as an oath. Is even though it may be lacking in an issa malacha, but there are definitely certain mitzvahs that apply on chalamoid that don't apply the rest of the year. On sukkah there's a din min haTorah, you have to eat in the sukkah. On pesach there's mitzvah deraisa din chametz. So maybe that's enough to label it as an oath. So Tosfos is saying there are two reasons, two separate distinct reasons to exempt the person from tefillin on chalamoid. One is to say that there's an issa malacha as deraisa and call it a day. And the other is to say, forget about the issa malacha. Maybe the malacha is derabban, it's negotiable. But maybe it's part of them filling because it's an oath because of the mitzvah sayom. So we're not even sure which characteristic creates the shev oath. So Tosfos has two independent reasons to exempt the person from tefillin on chalamoid. One is the issa malacha shebo, that's deraisa. Number two, the mitzvah sayom. So there are other rishonim who question both of those premises. Other rishonim say chalamoid is only midrabbanan. And therefore, there is no issa malacha, there is no oath b'tam malacha. And other rishonim say, who says the mitzvah sayom is an oath? Maybe mitzvah sayom is only malacha. So therefore, you had a split in the rishonim. Of course, we're all familiar with, and machlokes is from one extreme to another. Half the rishonim held that you're mechuyev to wear tefillin in haTorah and chalamoid, and the other half the rishonim say that you're not allowed to wear tefillin. You're supposed to wear tefillin in chalamoid. So we have an unresolved machlokes out of yamazeh, and one part of that machlokes stems from this basic question: is malacha chalamoid deraisa derabbanan? Right, so then assuming that on Shabbos there's an issur, it's not even clear that there's an issur on Shabbos to wear tefillin. It's you're potter from tefillin on Shabbos, that's for sure. There seems to be a question in Shulchan Aruch whether you're actually also wear tefillin on Shabbos. But if you assume that you are, and you assume that chalamoid and Shabbos are the same for this, then it would follow that's also to wear tefillin on chalamoid. That's the talk with the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Shulchan Aruch's lash on nuchas tefillin is that also on the tefillin on chalamoid. There are more paskins that you're mechuyav. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that's an issa deraisa to put them on. So you get yourself in between a rock and a hard place. There are different opinions about this. Is there any other nafkavina outside of this, in a sense, tangential question? It's an important question for us, but it's not really at the crux, not at the heart of Malachas Chalamoid. Is there any nafkavina in terms of Hilchas Chalamoid proper, whether it's deraisa or derabanan? So the Chora, it should be a nafkavina in terms of Shaz or Sveikis. We know there's a general rule in Pesach Halacha that Sveikis deraisa or lechobra. Let's say I have a Shaz and a Choshavas. I'm not sure, is the following act called cooking or not? So I'm not allowed to do it. You suffer, you have to refrain. Sveikis deraisa is lechobra. What if you have another Shaila that's only a derabanan? So then, Sveikis derabanan lekula. And again, there are rules that govern both of these sets of rules. But as a general principle, Sveikis deraisa is lechobra, Sveikis derabanan lekula. What would you say about a Shaila nuchas chalamoid? You have a suffix in nuchas chalamoid. Would that go with the category of deraisa is lechobra? Or could you fall back and be lenient that it's only midrabanan and therefore it's lekula? What would you have? What would be such a scenario? Suffix is a strange kind of a Shaila. So the Magen Avraham, later the Mishnah Berurah, discussed the following question. One of the big heterim of Hilchos Chalamoid is what's called Dover Oved. Hopefully next week we'll talk a little bit more about that. Dover Oved means that something is you're going to experience a loss. You're going to lose money. So the opening Mishnah in Moed Katan speaks about the person whose field has to be irrigated. Yet this field is not raining. All the crops are going to get ruined. So Mashke Meis HaShloch in the Mishnah starts out. You're allowed to irrigate these fields on Chalamoid. Watering the field is an Issa Malacha. So Dover Oved, you're going to lose money, you can lose your crop, so that's going to be okay. What would the din be as follows? What if you have something that it's not clear whether it's a dover of it or not? So 50-50 chance, it's hard to assess, is it really going to be a dover of it? Maybe the crop will die, maybe the crop won't die. Am I permitted to do such an action on chalamoid or not? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, it depends. If you take the chumrah approach, that malachas chalamoid is deraisa, so then you're risking a deraisa. In order to be mafia deraisa, it has to be vadai dover of it. But if you hold that the whole issur is only midrabanan, maybe one could be a little bit more lenient. Maybe even a suffix dover of it would suffice. So that cheshbon may not be true based on the following. Why is it that Dover Ovid is mutter? What kind of heter is that? Dover Ovid is mutter. If it's also the melacha, where does Dover Ovid come from? So some Rishonim say that the reason why Dover Ovid is mutter is as follows. The whole reason why the halacha prohibits melacha and cholamoid in the first place, it's not really yontif. It's not the same as yontif. The real reason why either the rice or the rabbanon prohibits the melacha and cholamoid is in order to enhance the simchas hayom. The whole goal of yontif is simachta mefesh elokeichem, simachta mechayecha. The Torah wants us to be in a certain frame of mind during the week of cholamoid. If you're going to go to work, that's going to shtel, it's going to interfere with your ability to celebrate yontif properly. So therefore, it makes a lot of sense why Dover Ovid is mutter. Why? Imagine the guy sitting in the basement, and he's having a suit, and he's playing with his kids, and all of a sudden somebody comes and tells him, you're about to lose your $100 million of crops. So that's going to share his yontif more than going out and watering the crops. So whenever you have a Dover Ovid, so that goof is going to interfere with Simchas Yontif. The whole goal of the Yisim Allah Chol HaMoed is to preserve Simchas Yontif. If the guy goes ahead and he loses all his property, that goof is going to be the greatest detractor from the Simchas Yontif. So that's the lumdus why Dover Ovid is mutter. Again, on Shabbos, we would never say such an absurd thing. On Shabbos, the Torah says you can't do malacha. Finish, end of discussion. It's going to cost your crops, you're going to die, so they'll die. You're going to lose all your money, so you lose all your money. We'll figure out what to do. But a chalamoid, since the whole nature of the yisr is to enhance the simchas hayom, anytime the yisr malacha gufa detracts from the simchas hayom, then the yisr malacha becomes mutter. That's the heter of davar of it. If that's the case, so maybe one could say the following, it's a lumdish slash, halachic slash, psychological truth. Imagine if somebody comes to you and says, listen, you have $100,000 that you may suffer a loss or not. I can't tell you for sure. It's a 50-50 chance. If you go and water your crops, then you won't suffer any loss. If you don't, then you may lose everything. So that's not a suffix ruining yontif. That's a vadeh ruining yontif. When you have a suffix loss, a suffix devar of it, you're going to have a vadeh psychological trauma. It means you're not going to enjoy yontif no matter what. People do not enjoy yontif knowing that they're, even if they don't know for sure, if they think they're suffering $100,000 loss, that's going to share the simple yontif. So since the whole matir of devar of it is the fact that it's being maneah from the proper celebration of yontif, that svar applies to a suffix devar of it as well. So a suffix devar of it may be mutter even if malachas chorma is deraisa, because we don't have to be ma'afrit to call it a davar oved for sure. We don't have to be certain it's a davar oved. We have to be certain that you're upset. The real ma'afrit of davar oved is not the loss of money. The real ma'afrit is you're being upset. So whenever we have a situation, you're being upset, whether the cause of your upset was a vada piece of information or it was a suffix piece of information, your darga, your degree of being upset is still going to be present, and that's considered to be a ma'afrit of davar oved teres vada. So it's a very lumdish psychological word that a suffix davar oved basically based on psychology now becomes a vada davar oved and therefore becomes mutter. So it could be that the two big naskaminas, whether malachas chalamoed is the raisa or the rabbanan, one was the big naskamina of tefillin, that may not even be the issue. The other was suffix davar oved, that may not be the issue either. So far we have a very lumdish shaila, and we're not sure we have any real naskaminas. We had a whole share about it, we're not sure, we think we have naskaminas, but we're not 100% sure. But our co-planner, what we did hopefully accomplish today was the background of malachas chalamoed, just what that take is. Are we looking at chalamoed through the eyes of their isas? We're looking at chalamoed through the eyes of their abadis. Hopefully we'll meet next week, we'll try to get fill out a little bit of the details. So tachlis, bottom line is, what are you allowed to do in chalamoed? We're not allowed to do in chalamoed. And again, depending on whether our view is their isas or their abadis, that may alter how we're going to look at certain shailas and look at chalamoed. Hopefully we'll meet next week.
They change within each day of Chol HaMoed. Day one of Chol HaMoed, okay, I'll go today, but tomorrow it gets worse, the third day.